This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, and he scores!
Welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on point. And I'm looking outside on a nice sunny day here in downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland. Not another great game, though. A slow start dooms the Caps in another loss. If you just saw it, I'm sure you just did. It's just after five here in Maryland as we're recording. And with me, as always, on this week is... Well, she's suffering through a non-COVID illness, as I understand it, but soldiering on anyway. It's the one and only mermaid, Anna Knox, live from Centerville. Anna, how you holding up?
Oh, I'm fine.
You sound like, it.
I don't know if I'm more annoyed that this head cold has been in going on day five or that fucking game.
Yeah, I get it.
Yep, but no, I'm here. I'm sorry for those who have to listen through the nasal talk and bitching of me of whatever else. But yes, I'm here. I'm feeling much better. But 5 days. I mean, come on now.
It's all good. It's all good, and it'll go away.
Yes.
Okay, so we are still in Women's History Month, of course. This being the 19th of March, and I promised you a very special guest for that purpose, and without further ado, let's go ahead and introduce her from the Washington Hockey Now online pages. She reports on the Caps daily. We post her articles daily as often as we try to, and we come out. The one, the only, I love her writing. It's Sammy Silber. Sammy, thank you so much for coming on and doing us this great favor.
No, I'm super excited to be here. Thank you guys for even wanting to have me and the kind words. Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. And all right, so let's just go ahead and get to it. I know, of course, you're working as a journalist, but do you consider yourself a fan of the Washington Capitals?
Well, I mean, it's weird. I mean, so when I was younger, I mean, I was born and raised in, the DMV. So I grew up a Caps fan with the Ovechkin, you know, fat head on my wall and cool. the jersey and, you know, all of that stuff and, you know, not doing my homework so I could watch the games. And, but no, I mean, now, I mean, it's interesting because when you get involved in a field, you know, as a journalist, you learn to be objective and that kind of thing, but you still, you know, those childhood memories obviously stick with you. And then when you meet, you know, the guys and get to interact with such good, you know, players, such down to earth players, you know, the coaching staff, the public relations team, I can't say enough good things. And I mean, honestly, that only makes you, you know, like the organization more. So, I don't know, fan. I haven't really been to a game or worn a jersey on the street in years, but yeah, I mean, those memories stick with you, you know, and you hold on to your roots. So I don't know if that really answered your question, but
okay. So you would, at least as of right now, you'd consider yourself more of a journalist than a fan for the moment, at least.
I would say so. Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. That's very fair. Mentioned earlier, usually we have other fans to come on the show. So certainly different perspective. I have to get this out there. The techie in me would kick myself in the ass if I didn't ask you this. I did a little research and I understand you do digital content. I did some graphical work for a documentary on the California Seals. What was that like?
Yeah, no, that was really cool. I mean, I was in college. I was a freshman, actually, and I really wanted to get myself, you know, into the hockey world as much as possible and help out wherever I could. And, you know, on a whim, I decided to reach out, see if there was any way I could be a part of, you know, a documentary about the history of the game I love. And I was lucky enough to get in touch and do some, you know, graphics work, help them with some images, some resolution kind of stuff. And art asks there, and I got a free T-shirt out of it. So it was really cool. And, you know, it's obviously really cool to, you know, grow up and you never really think that you're going to do anything with hockey. And, you know, you dream of it as a kid, and to see it, you know, in the form of, hey, like you're in like movie credits, like it's a pretty crazy experience and just a little proud moment. So yeah, no, I stole the shirt, wear it sometimes. So it was awesome. It was just a fun experience and something where you just really thanked, you know, the opportunity, you know, somebody to trust in a college freshman to do work for them on a movie that means a lot to them. Well, it was something really special. So
very cool.
Yeah, it was really cool when I saw that in your credit. Now, it's actually in IMDb if anybody wants to look that up.
Oh, dear.
So before we get into everything else, I'm sure I think Anna has at least one or two questions for you. So at this podcast, what we try to do, I mean, we're not professionals like you, but what we try to do is make the casual Caps fan better at judging the game, knowing what they're seeing. Mm-hmm. So to get some advice from someone like you, whose job it is to make daily evaluations about the team, mm-hmm. what would you say is at least one thing that you would advise fans to watch for during games?
Ooh, that's what you guys do your research and you ask a really good question. My goodness. We're only a few minutes into this too. This is awesome.
My question was more going to be like favorite color, favorite restaurant in the area, but
we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
It's going
to
take it to other levels.
I love those too. I mean, it's funny that you ask what you see, because I'm a firm believer in the eye test. I've never really, and it's not because I'm bad at math. I promise. I'm just not really an advanced stats person. You know, I think that anybody can look up a score sheet and try to, you know, decipher what happened in a game off of that, right? And I think that's so much more than that. Hockey is such a fast sport and definitely an eye test, right? You know, where it's more so you got to trust in what you see on the ice rather than what you read on paper. You know, because the numbers can indicate, you know, hey, somebody had like a low Corsi, you know what I mean, but they weren't playing a bad game, you know. So
right.
I think in the games, you know, something that I really like to watch a lot of are those neutral zone battles, right? Like it's not even the first thing I like to look at, especially in games where you see lopsided scoring or breakdowns in the defensive zone or odd man rushes. You kind of look at that neutral zone play. Winning those battles in the neutral zone is so important, especially with how fast the game is now. And I mean, that's always where my mind goes first. Obviously, I got to look at center ice when the game starts, when I'm watching, because, you know, that's where the puck drops. But I think a lot of the biggest stuff, you know, happens in neutral zone. And that's where hockey games are won and lost, in my opinion. I mean, obviously, you got to score and get big saves from your netminder. But if you're not winning your neutral zone battles, if you're not doing well in between the two blue lines, like it's usually not going to end in your favor. So. I like to do that, but also I try to stay away from the Corsi and the Fenwick. I think anybody who reads my articles, you know, I'll get into that stuff sometimes, but I won't lean heavily on it. Just because, you know, you also love watching the game. That's what we all love doing, right? So
right.
I always put trust in the eyes, you know, even though I wear glasses. So I guess trust in like four eyes, you know, so.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think analytics have their place, but, you know, they don't tell the whole story.
And
I've said it before. I try to marry what I see in the game against the both the basic stats and the analytics.
Of course. Yeah. Absolutely. Exactly.
Yeah. And that there are some that, you know, are very good at, you know, pointing out when those stats should be applied. You know, like to have those folks on. There's one in particular. I'll just give him a quick plug. Stats guy Blake, he's on Twitter. He's with the Chirpin' DMV podcast. I had a pretty good episode with him one time when he was explaining advanced stats, but it was kind of a 101 thing. But yeah, that's really good though, because I'm a traditionalist too, because I rely on the eye mostly, but I like to throw in those numbers when it tells more of the story as well.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. And, you know, I mean, you can look and, you know, expected goals for all those, you know, fun numbers that you get from places like Natural Stat Trick or looking at the media sheets or at. I mean, it's definitely important. They definitely tell a story. If they didn't tell a story, they wouldn't exist. But I mean, for me, it's maybe I'm old fashioned. Maybe I'm not numbers for, I mean, they play their stats. Just, I mean, like you said, you put it best, you married the two, you know, and from that you tell a really, really good story. And you also really evaluate the players as well. So
yeah, absolutely. If I could just throw one last comment in here before I toss it to Anna, the one thing I've noticed about your articles is you are very, very good at getting to the point. You're like a surgeon with words. When you break down all of your articles, you know, they just get right to the point. And they break down in several paragraphs. You know, you're not forcing the reader to scroll down forever and ever before you get to the point. You know, they're very, very concise, I guess is the word I'm looking for. And I think that's very much a credit to how you get things done. Just wanted to put that out there.
No, thank you. I mean, I can give you my editor's email. He would love to hear that. He'd love to hear that. No, thank you. I mean, it took a really long time to find, you know, my voice and the way I put words together. And the reason I do write is literally to just share the passion and, you know, the beautiful mess that hockey is, right? With people who love it and, you know, can't put it into words, you know, or aren't at the rink or live far away or, you know, can't watch the games, you know, so that's what I try to do. And I think also, yeah, I mean, if you click on something, you want to know what it's about and you want to feel it, you want to be in the moment. So I mean, it's something that I just really, you know, aim for and love doing.
Absolutely. Okay. So, and I know you had at least, you probably had several, I think, we talked about you wanted to go over.
I was joking. Not that I don't want to know all the other fun things. Cause I do. Cause I love the fact that we actually, that we do have you on today and we're both new to, I am to your articles, which is really fantastic. So, So I'm a teacher. I teach fifth and sixth grade special ed, and I've been doing it forever, and I love it. I deal with students with behavioral problems. It's probably why I'm such a lover of hockey, because I'm like, some of these kids would just do great if they could get on the ice and let some of that energy out. But as for a female to a female and for other fans out there, I'm just wondering if you have advice for girls to pursue their goals.
Yeah, no. And honestly, you just inspired me a lot. You know, teaching and especially special education is so important. I mean, and also hockey as well. But yeah, I mean, I'm very blessed to get to do what I do. I was telling somebody yesterday and a couple of days ago too, that there's never a dull moment covering the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
Woman, I will admit, you know, there are times where, especially, you know, growing up, it was kind of, you know, there were times where I was like, I don't really see a lot of other women doing sports stuff. Like, can I do it? The answer is, you know, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I would put like a, you know, explicit in there, you know, scream or, you know, the F word and be like, you know, F yes or whatever. But you can. I mean, it took a lot of work, especially, you know, in college. You know, I was in a lot of sports writing classes, and, you know, I would have, you know, one or two other girls, and I would connect a lot with them. You know, you really connect, you know, with each other, and you connect with everybody. And you know, the best way to do something is to get involved and be fearless. I mean, it's easier said than done. I was, you know, growing up, I was a pretty socially awkward young kid who, you know, loved hockey and didn't really know, you know, if I could just go in and write about it, you know, until I tried it, right? And yeah. I think I'm good at it. I hope I'm good at it. But somebody should tell me by now. But no, but
intervention. No, just kidding. That's a really that's why we really had you on. Just kidding.
No, yeah, no. Yeah, I mean, the best thing to do is to try. I mean, I remember one of my teachers who was a woman, and she was my first journalism teacher. You know, she told me the worst thing you can hear in your life is no. Yeah. And it's true, right? And you'll never know if you can do something if you don't try it. Yeah. And when mm-hmm. you try it, you also got to be honest to yourself. You got to be yourself. You got to put yourself in that situation, unabashedly be yourself. You know, put your love and heart and passion into it. And if you have that, you're going to succeed. It doesn't matter if anybody else doubts you or whatever. It's, you know, life is such an amazing thing, not to get introspectively like deep here, but life is such a wonderful thing to experience. And yet, like, it goes by so fast that you got to just go all in. When you do something and your heart's got to be in it, and, you know, no matter what gender, you know, sexual orientation, national, and no matter what, I mean, there's a place for you. Don't let anybody else sit there and tell you that there's not.
Yeah. No, that's so awesome to hear, because I think some of I have male and female students, and, you know, they all have their challenges, and yeah. Definitely kind of feel like, the world is against them. And I'm like, no, you know, underdog or not, who cares? Like, you are who you are, and you're going to shine. And the moment you cross over into my room, whether it's to have a tantrum, to complain, or, you know, to take a test, or you just need a good, you know, moment of me just telling you how awesome you are. I want, you know, you want to walk away and encourage people to pursue their dreams. And I absolutely agree with the fearless thing is great, because yeah. I think I've got these female students these days that just have so much talent, whether it's in art or singing or anything else, but they feel not supported by certain people. And it's like, nope, you're going to, you know, if I'm going to be that little squeaky wheel, I'm going to get you as far as I can and really make you feel comfortable in your skin and confident in your skills and yeah. be the utter badass that you are at 11.
Yeah, no, I mean, and you know,
why not? We all needed that when we were younger.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, and my mom taught me the same thing, you know, cause she worked, you know, she still works, and you know, she's like, you know, just push yourself to be the best you can be, you know, and don't ever try to, you know, just compare yourself to others or get down on yourself when things get hard. You know, you just got to keep going and have that belief and just go for it. You know, if you want to do something, go all in, you know, don't let anybody stop you. I mean, if you see like a caution, you know, like tape. You know, like actual legitimate caution tape. Right, right. You'd be like, don't go through. But like the metaphorical, you know, red tape, you know, just tear it down, you know, just don't let anybody, you know, shut you out because of who you are. You know, you just got to go all in for it.
That, love it.
Yeah. And it's great. It's great that you're right here in the DMV. We have people breaking down those barriers. So yourself, Emily Engel-Natsky, I probably just butchered her name, who's the video coordinator coach for the team. So yeah, we just, I keep saying it, but we just want to do what little we can to put the spotlight when we can, pardon me, on the for this month, on the women that do just that. And like you said, like you both said, show that you can do anything you put your heart and mind to, if it's really what you want to do. That's really what it comes down to. So before we break down the game, a couple things, other things I want to put out there. You two may not have realized it, but you already have something in common. If I heard right, I think I heard this on another podcast you were on. I don't know if you still do it, but if I'm not mistaken, you coach youth hockey.
Sammy? I did. I was coaching with the Washington Pride. Shout out to Kyle. They actually won a banner, and
he
sent me a picture of them today. And then Caps got, you know, super busy, so I had to, you know, mid-season kind of step away. But yeah, coached, and you know, coach amazing, talented, you know, young girls and women in hockey, and seeing, you know, the skill that they have and the drive and the will and, you know, the stuff that comes out of their mouths. I mean, they're so goofy, and I mean, kids really are something. But I did that, and I play too. So, got, you know, summer league coming up, and should be a good time. But yeah, no, I did coach.
Yeah, because Anna actually coaches youth swimming, as well as being a teacher.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, my
kids all the time.
Yeah, there you go.
which is crazy, because when people are like, did you always want to be a teacher? I'm like, no. Absolutely not. But then I think that, you know, that there's you know, for some reason things come into your life and you're like, my God, I think I'm kind of good at this. But yeah, it was a competitive summer my whole life. So I grew up opposite coast. I'm a California girl, so year-round swimming was outside, and it was in my blood forever. And so whenever I have an opportunity with like my own kids' summer team to help out any way I can, it's like a second home, definitely. Which is, so for you, like when Gil it refers to me as the mermaid, it's, I don't want to be anywhere other than, if I'm not in the pool, I want to be by the ocean.
Yeah.
Even though I live in Virginia and it's really not possible where I'm at, but it's just there. So that's just be kind of our joke when he introduces me, and it's like on my license plate kind of thing and whatever. But yes, I mean, coaching is just one of those things that there's nothing better than, you know, you're riding on somebody like, you can do this, like, you know, get it out of it, you know, get it out of that negative headspace. And then all of a sudden their time drops or they win, and that they just feel so good about themselves. Like, you can't help but just be like, yes.
Oh yeah. So
I love that.
Yeah. No better feeling. No better feeling.
Yeah. That's what we try to be about here. Everybody, you know, presenting themselves, but being themselves, you know, having their thoughts expressed verbally about, you know, what they see and what they think of the team, but, you know, them being comfortable in their skin, being themselves, and not being afraid to be judged for whatever reason. So that's definitely what we're all
about. Starting off a show in a really negative attitude, like I did, and then continuing on. I know, I feel bad. I feel like, go ahead and edit that out, because it was quite snarky, but man, that game frustrated the hell out of me.
Well, speaking of that game, let's briefly, since we're a bit pressed for time, let's briefly go over that. Of course, as we're recording, it's right after the game. It's 5-3 loss. If we're getting down to it, it was another slow start for our Caps that more or less just kind of doomed it. I'm glad we have you on, Sammy, although I don't want to put you on the spot, but I'm hoping you can help us figure out what it is that's causing these slow starts lately, because it's another game where, had they not done that, had they not played that way in the first 15 to 20 minutes, they probably would have had a chance to come away with at least one, maybe the 2 points. But let's go ahead, briefly go over the scoring. Matt Boldy, 4 and a half minutes in, put the Wild up 2-0 with his 20th and 21st. Then come the second period, Captain gets a power play goal, and then Wild made it 3-1 on a Ryan Reeves tip-in. Look, a word about the goalies again, not to bring up that oft-argued cliche, but I really don't think any of the goals were Charlie Lindgren's fault, and this one least of all, especially if you look at the replay. He had the shot lined up, and you could tell it might have been a bit of a dispute that it was a tip-in, that Reeves did get it. It definitely was, because if you look how Lindgren is lined up for the shot, he's got it. He's got it angled correctly. And then at the very last second, Reeves gets his stick on it and totally changes direction. That's how you can tell it's a tip-in, by the way that the goalie is lined up. And you know, not a whole lot you can do as a goalie when that happens. So no, that one, least of all.
Okay. I'm here's one of those agree to disagree moments.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I agree. I'm not putting this on Lindgren at all. However, I will say there was a point when the hat trick goal went in and Lindgren's body language was just like, defeat it. And I felt like it just sucked the energy out right there. Like if you look at it, and I mean, of course, like as a goalie, you're going to be like, I can't believe I just, you know, fucking hat trick. And I just gave Ryan Reeves a goal. God. But there was like a body language in a defeated that I was really, I didn't want to see that, because that's where, you know, where you get into that mental part of the game, and now it's just in there like hat trick. It's like I'm kind of all he's thinking about. Luckily, it wasn't a, you know, terrible, 5-3, whatever. But if you see that highlight, you'll see what I'm talking about. That's where I was like, oh, Charlie, don't go there, because it was rough. It was a very, very, very physical game, and I think the refs were just absolute jerks. So.
Well, I saw exactly what you're referring to, Anna, and I think that to me was more like frustration. And okay. Chucky is, I'm calling him Chucky like I know him personally. He's a very proud athlete, very proud hockey player, but he's the first, he's probably a really the best team guy you can have, as the best backups in the league are. And I think he's putting it on himself, if anything. And that's what I saw. But yeah, I mean, I can see how you would have seen that. I mean, it probably was an element of, oh, damn, we're losing again. You know, that.
Well, that I just don't want it to carry over to like Tuesday's game. And if, you know, Kemper's still out, I don't like, that's what I'm saying. I don't want this to be like that mental block that happens. And then all of a sudden it's just like, shit, like there's no turning back in his head. But it's just that body language that you saw. I was like, oh, don't go there. Don't go to that dark place, because, you know, the team, you know, I don't know. I didn't know what to think, honestly, but I also hate afternoon games. So I wasn't surprised, but I was surprised with the physicality of this game for sure. And then just like the ridiculous calls. So.
Yeah, I totally get that. So to go back to the original observation, why is it this team starts so slowly and has been the last few games? I still haven't been able to put my finger on it. I don't think many have. So we'll go to our guest and resident expert, Sammy. What do you think it is?
I might not be that better. I don't know. I mean, I'll tell you, it's not from it's not from any kind of, we don't care, we're throwing it in. Like, that's the first thing I'm going to put out there. You know, you see some, you know, folks maybe, you know, looking at a story like that on paper and being like, oh my God, do they just not care? All 23 of those guys are, you know, the most disappointed, you know, when they start that way, because they want to win, you know, no matter where you're at in the standings, no matter what the circumstances are, you know, you know, what have you, selling at the deadline or being out of playoff position or things being, you know, there's a potential for a high pick if you don't make it. Those players want to win. You know, that's their livelihood. That's why they play. So it's definitely not going in and just being like, eh. But I mean, I think you'll see a lot of those bad starts come with the neutral zone, like we talked about earlier, right? I think it's about coming, not so much about the care, but with the readiness, the physical readiness to play. I think that, you know, they'll find themselves flat footed or, you know, be caught off guard with certain plays or the coverage. There's just certain breakdowns that happen. I mean, you saw it with the tic-tac-toe passing play on Friday, right, against St. Mm-hmm. Louis. And then, mm-hmm. you know, today with the backing up against, you know, there was kind of a staring down, you know, JoJo, you know, coming at us toward the net. And then, you know, you back away, you shy away. And then that leaves, you know, Charlie out to dry for a rebound in front, right? It's just little breakdowns and mistakes and, you know, failure to kind of be the team that comes out putting that pressure on at the gate. There needs to be winning, you know, those neutral zone battles, not retreating, but being more aggressive, you know, going in, laying the body, sustaining the pressure, knowing what you're going to be facing and just, you know, absolutely crashing into it before it catches you. I think it's 5 straight games now that a goal's been given up in the first, you know, 5 minutes, 18 seconds of the game. It's not pretty, you know, and obviously there's, you know, going to be tough bounces in the game of hockey. That's why earlier I called hockey a beautiful mess, right? But at the same time, you gotta win your battles and you gotta physically know what you're getting into. I think that sometimes the other team just comes out with more pressure, more, you know, more of an operational execution game plan, and then those breakdowns just happen and it leaves the goaltender out to dry. So I think that that's definitely one of the things that can contribute to a bad start. I mean, there's a lot of different things that go into it, but I did want to say, you know, it's not for a lack of care.
I've noticed, especially the last 10 games or so, especially, the compete level has been ramped up because I think that's when they realized, okay, we really got to start our playoff run. So I've definitely noticed an increase in the intensity and the compete level. So you're right. It's definitely not that, but it's something that it's definitely something where they're just caught off guard, like you said, when they're not quite ready to meet the challenge or expect that, you know, what they get is not what they expected. And it's, before you know it, it's, you know, you're down a goal. And in this case, what I like to call the bizarro McNugget minute, 50 seconds into this thing, you know, they're already behind, and never want to see that. But like Anna was pointing out, it that creeps into your head, that defeatist notion. But I did like that once Ovechkin scored his goal, there was more that belief that they, you know, hey, we can come back and win this thing. And they mm-hmm. certainly tried. So getting back to the scoring summary, it was 3-1 going into the third. Brandon Duhaime got what would be the winning goal at 3:46 into the third. And then Caps got another power play. Captain got his 39th and made it 4-2. Boldy got the hat trick. That was the goal you were talking about, Anna, where Charlie was, you know, just extremely PO'd at the result.
Yeah.
And then Strome got the that disputed goal that took forever to figure out what they were doing. But, you know, they were fighting all the way to the end. I think what fired them up was that, if I'm being generous and polite here, questionable hit on Kuznetsov.
Right.
I don't want to waste too much time on that, I'm not going to put my Caps homerism away, but I mean, if you go by the letter of the rule, that it was an illegal hit, should have been penalized, and since it wasn't penalized, should be subject to supplemental discipline. And that, I'm going to leave it at that because it was that obvious to me.
And I think everybody else who was watching. I mean, it was just the most insane thing to hear.
Everybody except Minnesota Wild fans.
True. But it was frustrating. You know, Reeves is chirping everybody, trying to go after Wilson, and there were just things that were called that shouldn't have been called, and then definitely things that were missed, and it was very. That's just always very frustrating, and I feel for them. I feel for, you know, the players that are, that everyone that's out there, and it's, you know, there's, man, I just, the injuries are killing us, but you know, their heart is in it. And I agree with what Sammy said. It's not, they're not giving up, which is why we watch every game, you know, because we know they're not a team that's like, oh, whatever, it doesn't matter. But just today was frustrating, and you know, and you can see it, you know, but oh well, we still have more games to go, and we'll still be couch coaching and doing our thing.
Yeah. And so taking a look at the standings, Caps are now at 71 games. So 11 games left, sitting at 73 points, 5 points behind the last playoff spot. So really no worse for wear than they started the day, because Pittsburgh, oh boy, I saw the game last night against the Rangers. Oh boy. Yeah, they're not looking so good right now. And they may be in worse shape than previously thought. I was very surprised that their management didn't do anything at the deadline to shore things up, given that they were and still are in a playoff spot. But I don't know if the Islanders are going to be caught, but Pittsburgh, if they keep going down the trajectory they're on, I don't know if it's going to be us or Florida or Buffalo, but they're going to get caught unless something changes drastically here. So that, I think that last spot is definitely up for grabs. So it's going to be interesting, not mathematically eliminated yet, but it's not looking very good. To be honest, quick preview of coming attractions. We've got the CBJ next Tuesday, at Cap One Thursday, the Blackhawks. So two of the bottom tier teams on paper should be an easy 4 points. So we'll see. And then those same Pittsburgh Penguins I just talked about at 8 o'clock in Pittsburgh Saturday to round out the week. So it's not over yet. There's some points on the board that they can grab, but it's looking a lot less certain. Again, trying to be polite here. And
do we know when Jensen's coming back?
Not really. I'm Sammy, again, hate to put you on the spot, but can you provide any insight to that? Because
right now he's day to day. He left Wednesday's game, obviously, in the third period there, upper body. And obviously has missed the last two games. Not ideal. I mean, looking at the situation and how much you need him now, but he's day to day, and same goes for Darcy too. But last I checked, neither on the injured reserve, so that's good. But remains to be seen. But for now, it's day to day. So, but we could see, you know, Carlson back. You know,
Carlson,
that's the word, that he'll be back sometime this week, and that I'm kind of two minds about that, because I heard about the severity of the injury, and while yes, he would be a boost to this team's chances on the ice, I read about the injury, and I'm like, do yourself a favor and maybe shut it down for the year.
Yeah. That's so scary, because, to think about the what ifs.
Yeah.
Especially, it's like, yeah, we'd love to have him back. I'm always a 74 supporter, but my God, it's like, you know, I think his wife's pregnant with their fourth, and I always just, you know, put the fan hat off and think, you know, family and health, and you don't want some, you know, stupid, you know, boarding call to cause any kind of injury to anybody when they're already, you know, have been going through. I didn't realize the severity of it either until I think Robbie sent that thing this week and was like, holy shit, like that's big freaking deal.
Yeah, that was kind of scary to read about. So yeah, I'm kind of torn in that. Yes, we want him on the ice, but yes, we also want him to have a decent life, and maybe, you know, the last 10 games of a season isn't all that meaningless or meaningful or worth putting your long-term health at risk. So I'm just torn about that. So hopefully he can avoid anything serious in those last 10 games. So we'll see. Okay, so we've done, you know, sorry for the abbreviated catch up. We usually try to catch up on all the games, but suffice it to say, a lot of them started and ended the same way. So what you saw here today was kind of a microcosm of what they've been playing like. Bit of a slow start at the beginning, making their best effort, not quite enough towards the end, and falling by one or two goals. So I think as long as if they can figure out how better to prepare for games, at least for those first 15 to 20 minutes, you know, there's no question, like we all said, the compete level, it's just a matter of finding a way to get that result, getting out of that first period with a better result. And I think, you know, that they'll be collecting some points here and doing some damage, but it all comes, you know, it's going to come down to those first 10 minutes, 10 to 20 minutes, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So they got to find a way to do it. So we're going to shift to a more fun part of a podcast, I hope, with our guest here, with a few more questions I have planned. Sammy, I understand you actually, well, when you can, you actually play the game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What position do you play?
I am a center or winger, depending on where you want to put me.
So basically a forward.
Basically a forward, yeah. Fun forward. Yep.
All right. So while you're playing, Gatorade, Powerade, Biofuel, none of the above?
Coke.
Regular or diet?
Regular Coke or Sprite, usually. It'll be some kind of soda. So whatever I find in the vending machine, I'll try to, when I can or when I have time, I'll get a Gatorade as well. Also, I apologize for my dog barking in the background.
because my cat is running around somewhere. Even though he's been fed, he'll be asking for second dinner here very shortly. So
yeah, I don't
need to apologize.
I don't know what she's barking at. She doesn't really realize that, you know, other people live in the building, so we're working on that. Coke, you know, anything with caffeine. I'm very big on caffeine. I'm not a coffee person, but a big soda person. So I'll usually go through one or two bottles a game, and then usually one Gatorade and one soda per practice. So.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I used to be a regular soda until doctor said you can't do that anymore. You've got type 2 diabetes. So now it's the Coke Zero for me. I always love soda. Cool. So what are your kind of picking things out of the air? Sorry about that.
No, you're good.
What are your thoughts about the women's game in general?
Yeah, no, I mean, I love it. It's honestly, I mean, like we were talking about earlier, you know, with fearlessness and talent, you know, the women that play this game, you know, the girls growing up who play this game are so talented. You know, we just had the, professional women's hockey, you know, the Dream Gap Tour come to, you know, Kettler or MedStar, I guess it's now called. I still call it Kettler. Even though, you know, I was, you know, a wee lad when it was still called Kettler, but I love it. You know, Sarah Nurse and anybody who plays it, so such talented, you know, people and wonderful human beings who are so humble and so down to earth, and, you know, to see the different leagues and you know, the collegiate level of the game and, you know, the AAA teams and the local teams. And, you know, women, it's so interesting because, you know, in the men's game, there's a, you know, there is a lot of contact and heavy hitting, and, you know, with women, there's, you know, without that, you know, it's all talent, you know, but it's also, you know, being aggressive and getting your body in the right positions and puck protection. Right. I mean, it's the same thing as when, you know, you watch the men's game, the talent, right? I mean, it's just amplified when you watch the women's game, and, you know, to see those women, you know, blazing their own trail and also inspiring, you know, younger women, you know, who'll see, you know, the U.S. Olympians or the Canadian national team and be like, you know, oh my God, I want to be just like her. It's incredible. And, you know, the same can be said for, you know, the women in the NHL who, you know, the coaches and, you know, the trainers and, you know, people trying to get involved in the front office too. It's incredible to watch, you know, because such brilliant minds and such talent. I can't say enough good thing about women's hockey. It's amazing.
Yeah, me personally, I'm hoping the game, the actual game, and I definitely appreciate the inroads in the front office that they're making, as you just mentioned, and would love to see more of that. But the game itself, I hope to see grow, because I think we've seen enough of the talent level and the athleticism that is produced. And I think it's worthy of the best of the best, especially here. And that pool is growing every year, that they have a chance to make that an actual profession.
Yeah.
And, I would love to see that. And whatever the NHL can do, they really ought to do.
Yeah.
If they're serious about growing their fan base, they really ought to do that. And it's almost criminal that they really haven't done anything. They've been kind of in the background going, oh yeah, okay. Yeah. You're there. Okay. We support you. Yeah, sure we do. But whether they help or not, I would love to see the women's game grow a lot more, so it can be a true profession, because unfortunately right now it's not. And that's why you have the split between the Premier Hockey Federation and the PHWPA, who had the Dream Gap Tour. Both leagues, by the way, are going into their championships this weekend, I believe. The Isabel Cup final is going to be in 2 weeks. If I'm not mistaken, or a week and a half, I believe, at the Mullet Arena, for those interested. So, all great stuff there. Always wanted, you know, somebody's opinion about that, who actually is on the ice and involved and in the game. So great stuff there.
Yeah.
Okay. So one last question before we wrap it up. Okay, so you're a forward. That's perfect. Okay, yep. So hypothetical situation. Team Eddie of yours digs it out of the corner, finds you in the slot. You put away the one-timer. You're in the arena. What is the goal song that plays?
I would be surprised if I ever scored a goal.
Okay, but assuming you did.
Assuming I did. Ooh, that's a good question. I'd have to go with the Florence and the Machine song. You know, I'm a big Florence and the Machine person. You know, probably like Dog Days Are Over, because
Dog Days Are Over. Yeah, love that song.
Because you know, I'm waiting for the Dog Days then, because I want a goal. Like I ended I ended last season with more penalty minutes than I even had points. I was not so good. So you know, and you know, I like to play a little rough and get to those dirty areas. So hopefully it'll result in a goal for me instead of a trip to the box. Cause I don't think anybody likes me sitting in there, and I don't really like sitting in there. There's nothing to do. And, you know, I don't like, you know, seeing my captain's reaction across the ice when that happens. So,
yeah. Gil, what about you? I don't think we've ever discussed this.
Yeah. I want to hear your guys's.
Anna, you go first.
I'll put you on the spot. I would have two, depending on like how fantastic it was, if it was unassisted or whatever. I would first, Highway to Hell, AC/DC. Fantastic song. Love everything about it. And then, but I actually think also I like Fire Woman by The Cult.
Those are good ones.
I nice. Just love just the beginning of both songs, and it just gets you pumped up. So yeah, those would be things that played. Also, when I was swimming, I would have, you know, you get songs. So everyone's like, what were you thinking when you were swimming long distance? I'm like, songs, lyrics. Certainly not thinking about, you know, at that time, you're, you know, thinking about, oh, sorry.
God, come, it's cool.
Bella, come on.
Let Bella sing. Bella is welcome to put her opinions out on the show. You know that.
She's been doing that for a while, but this is over a dog biscuit. So it's like they're staring at each other, and one, and she doesn't even like biscuits. She just wants to be a pain. But yeah, so those two, Highway to Hell and Fire Woman.
Those are good.
Come on. See, I kind of expected something from the White Stripes from you.
Oh, shut up. Yeah. Well, that's a little inside joke with us, but yes, I do like that.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you got me. Well, full disclosure, I didn't play on the ice. I played a little bit of roller hockey, mostly street. And when I did, I was a defenseman, hence blue liner on point. So my job wasn't to score, but I did on the occasion. So I'm kind of in the same boat as you, Sammy. But if I were to get, if I were to have my own goal song, I don't know why, but it would be "You Two Hold Me, Thrill Me, Kiss Me, Kill Me" from Batman Forever.
Really?
Ooh. Okay.
I don't know why, but I just whenever I imagine scoring a goal, that just the sound of that over the PA. And my arms up in triumph, and you know, kind of politely giving the middle finger, if you know, to the team I scored on. Yeah, I know that's not what you're supposed to do, but song playing, I don't know why, it just this all comes together in my mind for me. So,
well, as long as I can take that. I was waiting for you to be like all sentimental and go like Air Supply or something.
Oh,
well, another inside joke. Just kidding, Gil. No, that's a good one. It was a terrible movie, but that was that's a good song. You two, you can't go wrong with.
Yeah. So there was that. So, all right. So I think this is a good place to, hold it here, as Locker often says, dropping another name. Look, I'm going to remain optimistic. Yes, it's looking more and more like the playoffs are not going to be something we're going to get to enjoy directly, but I'm going to stay optimistic. And, you know, yeah, they're going to have to win quite a few games, but yeah, the teams above them and around them are also losing, which I don't think too many people counted on. So there's a lot of reasons to stay optimistic. So, and as I said, it's fun to watch because, you know, the compete level is still there, obviously. So the games are still fun to watch. So for those thinking about throwing in the towel and giving up on the season, don't.
Oh, wow.
And please, God, no more talk about tanking for Bedard. It ain't going to happen. For God's sake. I'm sick of hearing that. I really am. Whenever I see that, I'm like, okay, you better be joking because shit ain't funny. It's just not.
All right. Well, and I want to close out the season, like, you know, going back to seeing the boys, most importantly, healthy, because my God, we have been through the ringer with injuries. And I think that's
what's so
frustrating is it's like that, you know, nothing that you can control with that. That's not even like, oh, they're just having a shit game. This is like, my God, we've got things against us. But when you get to see like 8-18 and 8-19 today with Ovechkin, it's like fantastic. And, you know, they're putting Alexiev on, speaking so highly about him, which is great because, you know, all of us were like, oh, let's get him, you know, give him more time. And I still pull him for Protas. I know, Gil, you're like frustrated with him, but it's there. I think once he does.
Real quick, I liked his game for the most part today. I think he's getting there.
Yeah,
I really do. I think he's definitely getting there. He just needs to use his body a little more, is my only opinion about him. But yeah. I think he's definitely getting there. And once he sees more power play time, for sure, I think that'll be where he shines. So I'm not as down on him as I used to be.
Yeah. No, I just, you know, I'm going to ride it out. It's fun. I can be frustrated. Everyone knows how much I hate Ryan Reeves. so he just, you know, just to see him, just have him score and have him chirp with Wilson just gets under my skin. But, you know, whatever. I'm not going to not watch. You know, that's what you do for your yeah. team. And
stay with
him. Sammy, I know you have to go, but so awesome to have you take the time to come on our podcast. It was super appreciated. It was great to chat with you tonight.
No, yeah, thank you guys. I mean, if I can, I mean, keep, you know, there's still hope in that room. You know, I'll tell you guys that, you know, before I, you know, bust out of here, you know, everybody, you know, wants to know what they're thinking and they're feeling it. You know, they've been through it. They've, you know, faced adversity. I mean, you guys were talking about Chucky. He is such a team guy and such a first class, such a nice guy. You know, and the frustration, you know, that you saw was just, you know, he hates genuine. When he lets by yeah. a goal. There's yeah. nobody who hates giving up goals more than that. And that's what you want to see. Yeah. But it's also especially because they care so much. And they really are, you know, great, great guys. And, you know, just don't give up hope. I mean, like you said, I mean, it's going to be a push to the finish here. You know, but it's okay to watch them to the end. And, you know, it's, you know, again, like I said earlier, never a dull day covering the NHL. It's such a privilege and, you know, never a dull day watching it either. Yeah. Disappointing days, frustrating days, you know. Days you wish starts could be better, but you know, I'm so thankful, you know, that I get to write about it, talk about it, watch it, and got to be on here with you guys. You're absolutely fantastic, and hopefully I get invited back at some point.
Oh, so. Well, I was just sure. about to ask if you would like to be back on with us sometime down the road. We would be thrilled and honored to have you. So thank you so much for being on, and yes, we would love to have you back on yeah. whenever you've got time.
To come back. Be yeah, honored to come back.
Awesome.
Definitely.
All right. So, okay. So, yep. So, yeah, we won't tie you up too much longer here. Sammy, you were a tall, cool bottle of awesome with us today. Thank you so much for gracing us with your time and knowledge and insight. And I can't believe someone like you would spend time on our little podcast. Yeah. But thank you so much.
I'm once nothing. Again. No. Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. Oh. And thank you for saying I'm tall. I'm not really tall. So that meant a lot. I mean, thank you guys. Seriously, I was more than happy. And, you know, thanks for working with me, you know, through the time hiccups and now somebody's, you know, expecting you know, some toys. So I'm going to go to the doggo now and see what's going on there.
Okay. Well, not before I do my signature ending here real quick.
Oh.
So for Sammy Silber and the Mermaid Anna Knox, this is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you that a friend of mine recently got back into dating, said they met somebody who plays hockey. So I asked them what position they played. So they admitted they didn't know much about the game, but it was the player who wears the pads and the mask. So I made a few observations and told them, well, maybe you want to take your best shot. Don't pass up the chance. And this person sounds like a keeper.
Well, really?
That was funny. I liked it.
She thinks I'm funny.
Oh,
I laughed.
All right.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conklin.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.